with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene conversation from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Lord Jesus, as we look into your word this morning, we give thanks. And we ask you to make the word come alive to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Lord began to lay this scripture on my heart late last week. And I balked a little bit because I said to the Lord, I just preached on this a few weeks ago. And the Lord said, not like you're going to this week. And then, in my spirit, I began to see the Hebrew children coming up out of Egypt. And that's all I could think about all week. And I kept saying, Lord Jesus, that's in Exodus, not Colossians. And the Lord really said to me, just keep looking, just keep meditating, just keep thinking. And oh my. The story of the Hebrew children leaving Egypt is one of the great spectacles of the Bible. The story is huge. Confrontations between Moses and Pharaoh, plagues, flies, frogs, lice, fire, the angel of death sweeping through the land, the parting of the Red Sea and the drowning of the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. I mean, it was a spectacle. Somebody should make a movie. There are so many similarities between the delivering of the Hebrews out of Egypt and the Christian life. In fact, the story of Exodus is in fact a picture of the life of the atonement and its provision for your salvation and mine through Christ. At almost every hand, you can see types and symbols and pictures that teach us about the work that Jesus did on the cross to save us from our sins. The slavery of the people is a type of our own slavery to our own sin nature. The lamb that they took and offered as a sacrifice and spread its blood over the doorpost of their houses is a type of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea and their crossing over was a symbol of our own baptism. And wandering in the wilderness is a type of our own struggles to get free of the old nature and to put on the new. As the adults who left Egypt all died in the wilderness, and those who entered the promised land were a picture of the spiritual death that all of us must go through and the resurrection that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The pillar of cloud, the water from the rock, the bitter waters of Marah, manna falling from heaven to feed them, all pictures of our own life as we move toward that place where we enter fully into Christ. I can't take the time this morning to dive into all of that, but I do want to focus on a couple of things that I feel very strongly that the Lord put on my heart for today. really just two things that I want to spend some time on. Things that the Spirit of God has really pressed on me this week. And that I believe that there's someone here today, sitting right here in this room, that really needs to hear what God's word is for today. There may be one, there may be several, but someone needs to hear this message this morning. Please pay close attention. It might be you. But first, I want to play a song for you. Now, you know, we've added a new level, a layer of technology here this morning, so this whole pulpit area may blow up. But this is a song written and sung by one of my favorite Christian singers, a fellow by the name of Keith Green, who went to be with the Lord many years ago in a terrible plane crash. Some of you may remember Keith Green. Some of you are way too young to remember Keith Green. But enjoy this Keith Green song, "So You Want to Go Back to Egypt."
So you want to go back to Egypt, where it's warm and secure. Are you sorry you bought the one-way ticket when you thought you were sure? You wanted to live in the land of promise, but now it's getting so hard. Are you sorry you're out here in the desert instead of your own backyard? Sand gets so hot, and in the morning it's manna hot cakes. We snack on manna all day, and they sure had a winner last night for dinner, flaming manna souffle. Well, we once complained for something new to munch. The ground opened up and had some of us for lunch. Waffles.
And that was my buddy Keith Green. Seriously, if you really want to get blessed with good, solid, theologically sound music, download some of Keith's stuff. It's just amazing. Besides all the types and symbols that are revealed in the story of the Exodus, there's a couple of things that may not jump out at you when you read the story. And if you have not read the story of the Exodus, it's in the book of Exodus. I recommend that you read it. And these two things are very, very important to the message that I want to share with you today. Here's the first one. All the people we read about in Exodus, all of them, when Moses walked down out of the wilderness of the land of Midian with a message from God, all of the people that we read about in the book of Exodus were born into slavery. The Hebrews came to Egypt fleeing a great famine in Canaan. I'm sure many of you remember the story of Joseph. He brought his family, some 70 souls, down into Egypt to escape the famine. And they lived there for 420 years. They had grown from a single family to a great nation, numbering in the millions. They grew so great that the Pharaohs began to fear them. And in order to keep them in check, they kept them enslaved in some terrible, bitter existence. So when Moses came in from the wilderness with the message from God to let my people go, all the people living there at that time were born into slavery. They had never known anything else. God sent Moses into Egypt as a deliverer. And through the power of God, he would deliver the people of God out of their slavery to a place of liberty and prosperity. So as you read that story, you need to remember that all of those people had never known anything but slavery. They had never known a moment of freedom. They had never made a decision about their own lives. They were not able to make any choices for themselves. They were under oppression. They were in chains. They were bound. They were nothing more than cattle to the Pharaohs. They were born into slavery. And what we need to realize this morning is that, like the Hebrews in Egypt, you and I were born into slavery. A lot of us don't realize that, and especially a lot of people who look at Christianity and don't understand it, don't understand. In the biblical symbolism, Egypt is always a symbol of the world system. The world government, the world's thinking, the way that the world loves. The system that is without God, the system that is opposed to God. And as Hebrews were born as slaves, you and I, that's right, you, every one of us, we were born into slavery. David says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, in sin did my mother conceive me." So when you came out of the womb, you were born in slavery to this world system. When our father Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he condemned all of us to enslavement by the cruel taskmaster of sin. It takes different forms, but it's all the same. We are sinful in our nature. We have sinful hearts. We are driven by sinful desires and lust. We are self-controlled, self-centered, self-consumed. And David says we were born as slaves to sin. Now, the lie of the devil is that if you become a Christian, you're going to become a slave to God. You need to not do that. You need to stay free like me. But I want you to really look with a critical eye at the world and tell me that men who are living in the world are really free. The truth is that God came to set us free. That to be in Christ is to be free indeed. And in fact, Jesus said, whom the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. One of the fruit of the Spirit, one of the things that comes into our life when we receive Christ and the Holy Spirit comes in, is the fruit of the Spirit called self-control. Amazing, isn't it? Oh, if you do that Bible stuff and get into Christ, you'll be a slave to God. No, I'm going to be free. For the first time in my life, when I came to Christ, I was in charge of myself. Because the principles of the Word of God put a man in charge of himself. The truth is that it's the devil who enslaves men. He binds them in slavery to opioids, to alcohol. He enslaves them in sexual sin, pornography, idolatry, witchcraft. He binds them through addiction and false religion. He binds them in unbreakable chains. He destroys their families. He destroys our marriages. He robs children of their parents. He steals our joy. He ruins our hopes. He sucks the life out of men and then throws them aside like a piece of trash, all used up. If you don't believe me, spend a Saturday night down on the corner of Elliott and Main Street. And there are people who are sitting under the sound of my voice this morning who can testify that my words are true. In a place called Midian, while Moses was tending his father-in-law's sheep, God came to him. He spoke to him out of a burning bush, and he said, I have heard the cry of my people by reason of their taskmasters, and I have come down to deliver them. I will send you, Moses, as my spokesman. You will go before Pharaoh. You will challenge his authority, and in my power and in my name, you will break the hold of Egypt over my people, and Pharaoh will let my people go. God was true to his word. He sent Moses to Egypt, and through the power of his word and the blood of an innocent lamb, God broke the hold that Pharaoh had on the Hebrew people, and he set them free. It was an act of God's grace. The people did nothing to affect their own release from bondage. Remember, they were slaves. They were in chains. There was nothing they could do to set themselves free. They could not get loose, but God came. And he broke Pharaoh's will, and he broke the chains of Israel, and he set them free, and he delivered them. They were helpless, hopeless, and powerless before Pharaoh, but God. You know, those are two of the most beautiful words in the Bible, but God. Because a lot of us would still be messed up, but God. A lot of us would still be in our chains, but God. A lot of us would still be hopeless and helpless, but God. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. Some of you are sitting in that place, but God has come by his word this morning to break your chains. In a place called Bethlehem of Judea, God moved into the world with another deliverer. Born in a quiet manger in Bethlehem, but headed to a cross outside of Jerusalem, Jesus came to set men free from the slavery into which they were born. He went to a cross. He willingly allowed wicked men to nail him there. And it was on that cross that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, listen to me, Jesus Christ of Nazareth waged war with hell. He looked death and sin right in the eye. He took the worst that darkness had to offer. He took the brutal chastisement of the sins that belonged to us in his own body. And he died an ugly, horrid, unthinkable death. And what the slaves of sin could not see was that in that naked, beaten, and wounded body was on full display the matchless grace of God. He defeated sin. He defeated death. And he broke the chains of slavery for sin for everyone that would look upon him and believe. Now, you may have been born in slavery to sin. You may be a second or third generation drunkard or addict here today. You might be a brawler, a despiser of God. Your chains may have been forged from heroin or whiskey or pornography or rejection or abandonment. Your chains may have been forged from a lifetime of physical or sexual abuse. I don't know the iron with which your chains were forged, but I know this and I declare it today. God has sent a man into Egypt to deliver you, and his name is Jesus. You don't have to be a slave anymore. Of him, John the Baptist declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." We could say it this way, "Behold, the Lamb of God that breaks every chain, who sets every slave free. He has the blood of the Lamb has set you free. He's taken you and your sin as far as the east is from the west." That's the first thing I want you to know. The second thing is something you may have missed when you first read the story of the Hebrews coming out of Egypt, and it's this. It took God only a few days to get the Hebrews out of Egypt. He spent the next 40 years getting Egypt out of the Hebrews. The Hebrews had lived for 420 years in bondage in Egypt. All they knew, listen to me, because you're in Egypt right now. They had spent 420 years in bondage in Egypt. All they knew was Egypt. All they thought was Egypt. All they ate was Egypt. God's purpose was not just to get the Hebrews out of Egypt. He needed to get Egypt out of the Hebrews. God's purpose was not just to deliver you from the world. Now he's working to get the world out of you. If you're sharp, you already know where I'm going with this. When you realize you've been set free, that Jesus has forgiven your sins, and now you are his, that's just the beginning. You have a lot of Egypt left in you. And if you're going to walk in the abundance of life that God has promised, he needs to get that Egypt out of you. You know, some of you can testify to this. You know, you can be sober and still think like a drunkard. Do you know you can be clean and still think like an addict? But God, through the Holy Spirit, wants to get the drunkard out of you. He wants to get the addict out of you. He wants to get the brawler out of you. He's not just content to deliver you from the world. He wants to root the world out of you and me. He wants us to throw off Egypt. Let me give you a quick illustration. It's not too late yet. We're not running too far behind yet. The Hebrews came up out of Egypt, and you know, they went and did that whole Red Sea thing where the waters parted and they all walked over on dry land, and then the Egyptian army followed them into the waters of the Red Sea, and God caused the Red Sea to close in on them. He drowned the whole Egyptian army. And the Hebrews stood on the far side of the Red Sea, and they watched this, and they got all excited, and they sang, and they danced all night. They hollered and screamed and beat tambourines and rejoiced in God, as they should have. Amen? They were delivered. God had set them free. 420 years of slavery broken. Why shouldn't they dance? Except that these guys had spent 420 years in slavery, they didn't think too far ahead. You know, a slave doesn't think too far ahead. You ever notice that? He just waits for the next command to come. And about the time the sun got high in the sky, everybody started getting thirsty. One guy looked at the other and said, "Let me borrow your canteen." The guy says, "Canteen, I don't have any water." "Didn't you bring any water?" "Who brought the water?" "Nobody brought any water." We're all out in the desert and we're thirsty. And somebody said, "Hey, over there's a spring. I see the palm trees. There's water over there. Let's run over there." And they ran over to the well at Marah, the spring at Marah. And these guys, you know, the young, hefty guys, they ran first. They threw themselves down into water and they took a big gulp. And they found out that it was full of all sorts of nasty tastes and minerals. They came up spitting and gagging and complaining. "God, did you just bring us out here that we would die of thirst? You brought us out of here, and now you're just going to kill us? We're all going to die of thirst out here." And God told Moses to take a tree, a certain tree, and throw that tree into the water. And when he threw that tree into the water, the bitter waters became sweet. Now, that's a whole sermon right there. But that's not the one I want to preach right now. This is what I want to tell you right now. What the Hebrews didn't know was those minerals that were so distasteful to them. There was actually several minerals in there, but I mentioned them. That spring was filled. It's still there today. You can go and try the water if you want to. Is filled with calcium and magnesium. Now, let me set this up a little bit. They had been living in the delta of the Nile. Their systems were filled with every kind of parasite and bug and vermin that you could possibly get. And calcium and magnesium is a powerful laxative. Now, I'm going to tell you, it probably was uncomfortable for a few days, but that was designed to clean all of the disease-bearing things out of them. God started right away getting Egypt out of them in a most, well, interesting way. But they didn't want that. They didn't want that bitterness. They wanted sweetness. And they didn't understand that it was the bitterness that God was bringing into their life that was going to relieve them of all of that junk they had brought up out of the Nile. There was another interesting mineral in that water. It's the basis of a medicine or a pill that's given to athletes who are going to be training and competing in very, very hot climates. It prevents them, if they happen to be exerting themselves, let's say in a desert or a wilderness, it keeps them from cramping up. So God not only wanted to clean out their system, he wanted to prepare their bodies to function in the heat of the desert. So God brought them this bitter experience, and they immediately began to say, no, 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 we don't want bitterness. Can I just share something with you, honey? If you're going to get the world out of you, there are a few bitter experiences in your future. But they're not designed to kill you. They are designed to clean you. Let me say this. If you've recently come to Jesus out of your slavery and sin, you have a lot of bitter experiences ahead of you. But don't get mad at God. Understand that God is not only committed to getting you out of Egypt, but he's deeply committed to getting Egypt out of you. Because it is Egypt that will trip you up every time. God was in the business of transforming a host of Egyptian slaves into a nation of kings and priests unto him, and a lot had to change. And the problem was, and I'm going to get to the point of some of us in this room this morning, the Hebrews wanted to go to the promised land. They wanted out of Egypt, but they wanted to bring some of Egypt with them. And when things got hard and when things got bitter, that's why Keith Green wrote that song. They said, we would have been better off in Egypt. They started, all they could remember, they just drug up and they remembered good times in Egypt. And I need to tell you, in truth, there were no good times in Egypt. And yet, out there in the harshness and the hardness of that desert, all of that seemed, oh, we were better off in Egypt. And there are people here who, from time to time, the enemy comes to you in a moment of difficulty and he whispers in your ear, you were better off in that bottle. You were better off in that crack house. You were better off out there in the world. Now, what I want you to do is go back to that scripture we read earlier in Colossians 3. Because I want to show you some things by doing a little creative reading of this passage. Go with me, if you will, to Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Follow along with me, but I'm going to read it a little bit differently than it's going to show up in your Bible, because I want to really tie it to my point this morning. then you have truly been delivered from Egypt, stop looking back at Egypt and start looking toward the promised land where Jesus is. Stop looking back toward Egypt where your chains are. Set your mind on the milk and honey that is to come instead of the leeks and the onions of Egypt. You are dead to that old life. I'm going to say it again. You are dead to that old life. And now alive in Christ and hidden in God. When Christ appears, you will appear with him. But he's not coming from Egypt. Your salvation is not coming from the world. Your deliverance is not coming from the world. Your release from chains is not coming from the world. It's not coming from your old friends. It's not coming from your old hangouts. It's not coming from the activities you needed to be involved or you used to be involved in. Your deliverance is coming from Christ and Christ alone. Stop looking back at Egypt and start looking forward to him. Verses 5, 6, and 7. You must now throw off the ragged garments you wore in Egypt. You must abandon the practices of Egypt, evil desires, impure actions, all the things you learned from the Egyptians, because the wrath of God will destroy them, and you don't want to be destroyed with them. And here's the part that I want you to hear the most. You used to walk that way. You used to think that way. You at one time talked that way. Because you were a slave to it. But now you are free. You're no longer bound to walk that way. You don't have to walk that way. Verses 8 and 9. You learned to think and act one way in Egypt. But now you must throw off the way you thought when you were a slave. You know, there are men who are set free, but they still act like a slave. There are men whose chains have been removed, but they still act like they're chained. There are men who are not bound to certain practices anymore, but they keep going back to them because they don't know they're free. Put away anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk. Stop lying to one another. That's the way you once were, but now, and I make this proclamation today, if you're in Christ, now you are no longer a slave. Stop acting like it. You are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Listen, let me give you a couple of practical applications. And this may rub you the wrong way a little bit, and I'm terribly not sorry about that. Some of you that need to get to know me know I'm not worried about your feelings. I'm not. I don't mind hurting your feelings a bit if I can teach you the truth. Some of you need to change your friends. You simply can't hang around with your friends from Egypt anymore. I know this always bothers people when I say this, but I know what I'm talking about, and you do too. You can't hang out with the guys you once shot up with. You can't hang out with the guys you used to get drunk with or partied with. You need to get away from them. Throw off Egypt. You can't go the places you used to go. You can't go to the old hangouts you used to hang out in Egypt. You don't live there anymore. Stop hanging out there. You can't watch the stuff you used to watch on TVs or movies or magazines and so on. Those were a part of Egypt. Those were a part of the thinking of Egypt. Those were a part of the mentality of Egypt. And you do not live in Egypt anymore. You need to get out of there, and you need to get Egypt out of you. You need to get Egypt out of your house. You need to get Egypt off of your computer. You need to get Egypt out of your television. You need to stop reading Egyptian magazines and listen to Egyptian television. You remember, I'm not talking about the Egypt that's in North Africa right now. I'm talking to, okay, I just wanted you to remember. Somebody be putting on Facebook, Pastor Mike hates Egypt. Change your friends. Change the things you watch. And by the way, if I can just get a little bit more brutal, in Egypt, friends aren't really friends. They're just people who use each other. I got that out, didn't I? Get away from Egypt. And this is precisely why some of you sitting right here in this room this morning are having such a hard time growing in your life in Christ, because you simply refuse to evict Egypt from your life. And you do not understand that you are walking backwards toward heaven. Just as if you were doing this and this was heaven, you're going, I'm going to heaven. That's Egypt. Heaven's out here, but I'm looking at Egypt and I'm going to heaven. You'll never get there, because Egypt will always call you back. Egypt will always call you back. If you're looking, the chains are still attached. You're headed toward the promised land with a lustful eye toward Egypt. There's nothing there for you but slavery and death. There's nothing there for you but slavery and death. You want to visit your old friends, hang out your old haunts, and it keeps dragging you back to Egypt. Make up your mind. Make up your mind where you want to live. And if you want to live in the life that Christ has promised, cut off every tie from Egypt that you possibly can. Look down at verse 12. Look toward the promised land like you intend to be a resident of that. He says here, put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Find some new friends who are going to keep you pursuing toward heaven. Find some new friends who will keep pursuing you and holding you accountable, driving you toward the kingdom of God and driving you away from hell. Stupid people say that if you love me, you won't criticize me. Those are stupid people. I'm sorry. If I love you and I see you tying yourself back to hell, I'm going to be all over you. I'm going to be in your face. I'm going to do anything I can do to wake you up. Find you some friends who will call you toward heaven, not back to the old life. Find some friends who want to spend time in God's Word with you instead of dragging you back to your dealer. Find some friends who are going to hold you accountable. Look in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts with God. Hang out with friends that are going to feed your spirit, not your habit. Now, for those of you who are not drunkards or addicts this morning, you just apply your own sin here, because it's just as addictive as heroin. Self-righteousness can be just as addictive and just as deadly. Hang out in places that call you upward. Don't drag you downward. Stop looking back toward Egypt. That's not your home anymore. Whatever you do, verse 17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything. Everything. You see, here's the deal. This thing of leaving Egypt and Egypt leaving me, it's not a part-time proposition. You can't do it just on Sunday morning. Well, I go to church every Sunday morning. So does the devil. He's here. I figure I'm making him mad. That's all right with me. He's been mad at me before. This is not a part-time thing. This is full-time. If you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So here's a message I have from you this morning. This is what the Lord says to you. I can and I will, through the work of grace and my strong arm, through the power of the cross, deliver you from the slavery into which you were born. I will. I can. And I will. But then, I'm going to start rooting around in your life in places you don't want me rooting. I'm going to start putting my finger on sores you don't want touched. I'm going to start unlocking closets you'd like to keep locked. I'm going to peer into every room. I'm going to search you. Remember that scripture I read and you said, oh, amen, praise you, Jesus. Search me, oh God. Expose all of the wickedness in me. Oh God, is that what that meant? It's exactly what that meant. Lord, there are dark places in my heart that I don't even know are there. Show them to me. Expose them to the light, because sin dies in the light of Jesus. I'm going to root Egypt out of you like a dentist pulling a wisdom tooth. I'm going to root it out. but God, that's going to hurt. You betcha. You betcha. Oh, it's going to be bitter and ugly and mean. Yep, sure is. Because Egypt is like a cancer that spreads through the body and it entangles in all of the organs and every aspect of the body. And I got to cut it all out. God says, I'll root everything out of you that's left of Egypt. There will be bitter waters ahead. There will be hardness. There will be difficulties. There will be battles to fight and win. But if you will let me, I will root everything that is left of Egypt out of you. And I will give you life and life abundantly. As I close, I want to tell you something. The elders meet periodically and we pray for you. We have a group that meets on Sunday morning and we pray. Sometimes they get loud and excited down there. I love it. What they're trying to do is outshout the musicians practicing up here. I know what's really going on. And you're getting better at it. You just about drowned them out this morning. But let me tell you what we're praying for. We've been praying in this church, and I believe we're on the brink. We've been praying in this church for the last three, almost 4 years now, for a spiritual awakening in this community. We want to see the chains of addiction, the chains of alcoholism, the chains of broken families, the serial divorces, the families that are all wrapped up and depending on somebody else to take care of them. We want to see those chains broken. And the only way to see those chains broken is to let the power of God loose. And we're praying, Lord, sweep over this community with a spirit of adoption. Lord, sweep over this community. Set the captives free. Those of you that are in recovery, I want you to know I pray for you every day. God has given me such a burden right now. God has just given me such a burden because we have, over the years, we've had so many. And I know I've kind of weighted my message towards you this morning because it's where my burden is. We have so many people who come through this church over the years, and they're here for a few weeks, and then they're gone, and we don't see them anymore. And I said to our elders every day, sometimes we've got just such a small window. God, move by your Holy Spirit. I want to see everybody that comes in here before they leave and go back to their home, wherever it is in northern Vermont or New Hampshire, the chains be broken. Not just dragging along behind, but broken so that you never drag back. That's my heart. That's what I want to see happen. I want this to be a place where men can come and they can throw off Egypt. Just throw off Egypt. Throw it off. There's nothing there for you anymore. Pastor Brian, if you would get a musician or two and come back up here, I just want to take a minute this morning. I felt this so powerfully this week that God, we're on the brink. I know you watch television and you hear some televangelist every week say that. We're on the brink of a breakthrough. Send us another offering. We need another offering if we're going to have a breakthrough. I'm going to tell you what, I'm not going to take up an offering right now. But I'm going to tell you that this body is on the brink of a breakthrough. I know it in my spirit. We are going to see the power of God loosed in this place and men and women are going to be set free. And so here's the deal. Pastor Brian's going to lead us in a song. I'm going to invite everybody to stand. If you've got some chains hanging on you this morning, I want to invite you to stand at this altar. If you've got some chains hanging on you, I don't care what they are. Maybe you're not. You say, well, he's talked to drunkards and addicts this morning. He wasn't talking to me. Yeah, I am. If you've got chains hanging on you this morning as we sing, I want you to gather at this altar. We're going to pray that God will break those chains once and for all. Amen. All right, come on, Brian, let's sing. If you got chains, get yourself up here. Come on. You might have been sexually abused and you're still scarred from that. Let's get free of that this morning. Let's get free of that this morning.
Our Father.
Let's get free of that this morning.
All of heaven rolls your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt in praise. Can you hear it?
Come on up close.
The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Our Father. All of heaven rose your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt in praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit break out.
Sing it out to him now. Come on. Oh, Spirit break out. Break
our walls down. Spirit break out. Heaven come down. King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. Your glory shaking up the earth and sky. Revival. We want to see your kingdom here. We want to see your kingdom here. Spirit break out. Break our walls down. Spirit break out. Heaven come down, Spirit break out, Spirit break out, Spirit break out.
Listen to me this morning. I want to tell you something. I told you this morning, some of you need to change your friends. Some of you need to change the places where you hang out. Some of you need to change some things from your past. That won't break the chains, but it'll keep them from getting reattached. It's the blood of Jesus that breaks the chains. It's the Spirit of God that breaks the chains. But let me tell you what, if you don't change, dig Egypt out of your mind by putting the Word of God in. The more of the Word of God you put in, the more of Egypt is driven out. So I'm going to pray for you this morning. I'm going to pray. I don't know what your chains are. I don't want to have a testimonial service here because I don't really care. I just know the one who breaks them. And I know we sang earlier, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. So if you're here this morning and you're battling with chains of addiction, if you're battling with chains of alcoholism, if you're battling with the sin of pornography, if you're battling with scars from sexual abuse or physical abuse, it does not matter. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. But then you have to give God permission. Once that chain is broken, and this is what I'm going to admonish you to, you need to give God permission. Search me, O God. I want you to start rooting around in my life and expose everything. 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 Nothing hidden. So that it can be broken. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for everyone in this building, not only those who are gathered here at the altar, but I pray, Father, that you would prove this testimony to be true, that there is power in the name. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Lord, we are reminded of that demoniac who was bound in chains. Not only was his body bound in chains, but his brain was bound in chains. And when the people came back after his encounter with Jesus, they found him sitting, talking in his right mind. He had been set free. So, Lord Jesus, this morning, you know the burden of my heart that not a person would leave this building today bound in the chains of slavery, but we would leave this place free. We would leave this place free to do what I want to do, not what I'm driven to do. Lord, I know that our states are scrambling now to develop programs to fight the opioid epidemic. Lord, I'm convinced there's no program that's going to meet the need. There's only one thing that's going to meet the need, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray this morning that men here, women here, will be set free from their own chains and anointed with the Spirit of God to go forth from this place and set men free through the authority of Jesus' name. We need to not be fighting our own chains and our own battles. We need to be fighting battles for other men. But we need to be free. So I command in the name of Jesus every chain to fall away right now. In the name of Jesus. Every chain, every bondage, every slavery, everything. It's broken in the name of Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we pray now that you will begin to root around in my life and find every speck of leaven, find every speck of Egypt and clear it out of my life so that I can be free and remain free. In Jesus' holy name. And everybody said amen. Everybody gave a big clap. Everybody gave a big shout. We shout to the Lord this morning. We shout to the Lord this morning. He has set me free. I'm free this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give somebody, tell them you love them as you go.
God bless you as you go this morning. Go in the power and might of the Spirit of the Lord.